Welcome back to the Rav Hirshon Parsha series on OU Torah. This week we will be studying Rav Hirsch's commentary on Parsha's Emor. We begin in the beginning of Perek Chaf Beis, where the Torah discusses the halachos for the Kohanim, especially as they relate to Tumah in the Mikdash. And Perek Chaf Beis begins, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Daber el Aharon ve'el banav, speak to Aaron and to his sons, V'yinozru mikotshei v'nei Yisrael, they shall separate from the holy objects of b'nei Yisrael, V'lo yichalalu eshem kodshi, and they shall not desecrate my holy name, Asher he makishim li ani Hashem, which they sanctify to me, for I am Hashem. Now, Rav Hirsch points out, and this is that it's obvious upon reading this pasuk that the phrase "Asher he makdishim li ani Hashem" sticks out a little bit, because again, if you read the pasuk, it says that they should separate from the kodshim, and this is talking about when they are tame, and it says they should not desecrate my name. Lo yichalalu Hashem kodshi. Asher he makdishim li, they are sanctifying to me. So it's not a reference necessarily to the name, to the Shem Hashem that they are sanctifying to me. But as most Mefarshim explain, the Asher he makdishim li refers back to the Kodesh B'nei Yisrael reference earlier in the Pasuk, that you should not desecrate Shem Shamayim, and therefore you should separate from the Kodesh B'nei Yisrael Asher he makdishim li. However, Rav Hirsch says it can actually be taken as a straightforward pasuk, and we can read it straight through, and read it as the Torah is saying that the Kohanim should separate from the Kodshim when they are Tameh, thereby they shall not desecrate Shem Kodshi, which they are meant to be sanctifying. And he says Shem Kodshi can be a reference to the Karbanos themselves. How so? So to understand this, we have to understand what the word Shem means. We can understand Shem means a name, but what is a name? So a name is really just the concept that we use to designate a certain item. So we give a name to something that that captures its essence, and that is how we call it. So the Shem can be the name of a person, it could be the name of an object, but it's just a means to acknowledge what the purpose of that object is, what its true essence is. So, when we refer to Shem Hashem, or in this case of the pasuk Shem Kodshi, Shem doesn't necessarily have to mean Hashem's name quite literally. It refers to our conception of Hashem, our understanding of His essence and of His purpose in the world. And this is of course, Hashem's name gives an understanding of who Hashem is, and we have different names for Hashem to reflect our different conceptions of Him in different, in His different revelations in different areas of life. So since we have a name for Hashem's Midas Adin, we have a name for Hashem's Midas Harachamim, but we find the word Shem used broadly throughout Tanakh to refer to Hashem's purpose or Hashem's goals, and a means of recognizing Hashem. For example, Rav Hirsch points to the Kapitel Nun Hei in Yeshaya, which we read for the Haftorah and Tanis Tzibur, where the pasuk says, "Vayola Hashem l'shem le'os olam lo yikares," that the word of Hashem will be l'shem, will be for a means of recognition of Hashem once it is spread throughout the world. Rav Hirsch points to a strange pasuk in Sefer Shmuel, which we read for the Haftorah of Parsha Shmini a few weeks ago, where the pasuk refers to the Aron in the Mishkan, and describing the Aron says, "Asher nikra shame Hashem tzvakos yoshev hakruvim alav." It was called shame, and the name of Hashem, who dwells upon the kruvim, was called upon it. And the word shame appears twice. Asher nikra shame Hashem tzvakos yoshev hakruvim. So Rav Hirsch explains the Aron is called shame. That's a name for the Aron. The Aron is called the name of Hashem, the Shem Hashem, because the Aron, through its symbolism, as we described in our Shiurim and Sefer Shemos, Parshas Truma, is the symbolism of the Aron teaches us what it is to serve Hashem, and what Hashem's, the meaning of Hashem in our lives should be to us. And so because the Aron gives us a conception of Hashem and enables us to recognize Him through its symbolism, the Aron is called Shem. It is Shem Hashem. It's something that gives us understanding of the essence of Hashem. And Rav Hirsch points to the psukim in Sefer Devarim, which describe the Mikdash and the Makom Mikdash as the place which Hashem chooses, Lasum Shemo Sham, or Lishaken Shemo Sham. It's a place where Hashem chooses to rest His name there, to place His name on that location. What does it mean that Hashem places His name on a location? It means that Hashem designates this location as a means for the recognition of His presence, of His goals, and of how Hashem conducts Himself and Hashem's method of operating in the world. So that is obviously something that we are meant to recognize through the Mikdash and the Avoda conducted within it. So the Mikdash is therefore called the place that Hashem chooses to rest His name, His conception to humanity is conveyed through the Mikdash. So to bring this idea and back to our pasuk and apply it here, we're now applying this to Karbanos and referring to Kodshe B'nei Yisrael as Shem Kodshi. And as we described in the earlier Parshios in Sefer Vayikra, the Karbanos are really a means for a person to draw closer to Hashem by reminding himself what Hashem wants of him and subduing his own personal desires and the blessings that Hashem has given him and subduing them to the will of Hashem, using them in the service of Hashem. And by bringing a karbon, the owner has a newfound recognition of what his goal should be in life, what Hashem wants of him. And so the Kodshe B'nai Yisrael are really nothing less than Shem Kodshi, than the name of Hashem, because it gives it's an expression of who Hashem is and what Hashem wants to the owner. So the pasuk can indeed be read straightforwardly, that they are commanded to refrain from being involved with Karbanos in the state of Tuma, v'yinozru mikodshei b'nei Yisrael, and thereby v'lo yichalu Hashem kodshi, they will not desecrate the Karbanos that are an expression of Hashem's purposes, of Hashem's name, Asherhem makdishim li, through which they sanctify through the Karbanos, giving expression to the kedusha of Hashem and the kedusha of Shem Hashem, and so that's why they are commanded to refrain from doing the avodah while in a state of tuma. I think this idea also applies to the statement of Chazal that, or perhaps not Chazal, but it's a well known statement that the entire Torah is Shemo Shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So when we learn Torah, we are reading Shemo Shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? It means that the entire Torah is an expression to us of the divine will, and we can see Hashem's ways by studying His Torah, and that's what it means. The Torah is the shemos shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and also we understand now what it means that there are shemos of din and shemos of rachamim and so on. A shame is just a different conception of Hashem, and so Hashem can be called by multiple names depending on the situation. Each one relevant in different areas. So a shame, a name, is nothing more than just a means to by which we conceive the item, the object designated with the name. We also find the concept of shame later on in the parsha when we talk about Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. And interestingly enough, this is also mentioned in connection with Karbanos as well. We find at the end of Perek Chaf Beis, the Torah is listing a few requirements regarding Karbanos that they need to, they can only be brought beginning on the eighth day, and also ve'espinolo sishchatu b'yom echad, that you cannot shecht the mother and, or the parent and the child on the same day, and this is true for Kachim as well as Chulin. And then other requirements regarding a carbon toda, a nosar, and then the plus is velo sechalalu es shem kodshi v'niktashti v'soch b'nei Yisrael ani Hashem mikadishchem. Should not desecrate my holy name. I shall be sanctified amongst b'nei Yisrael. I am Hashem who sanctifies you. So, it's because this is in the context of karbanos, and karbanos, of course, as we've just mentioned, are meant as a way to channel everything that we have, all our abilities, our both our physical side, our desires, our drives, as well as the blessings given to us by Hashem. We channel them all towards the service of Hashem, and that's the symbolism in Karbanos. So this is also how Rav Hirsch explains what Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem mean. Kiddush Hashem means that we must sacrifice our impulses to the more important will of Hashem, and when one does not give up his own personal desires and when they conflict with the will of Hashem, then he is mechalel es shem kodsho, and mechalel comes from the word chalal. Chalal is a corpse. So when he's mechalel shem shamayim, he transforms the name of Hashem, Hashem's purposes in this world, into something lifeless, something that's just empty. It makes a mockery of shem Hashem because it shows that we can call ourselves Jews, but we have no responsibilities to Hashem by being, even though we call ourselves Jews and the nation of Hashem. But the truth is that our definition of a Jew and our essence is as Avdei Hashem, and we undermine that idea every time we put our own desires before the will of Hashem. And the opposite, though, is more important. V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. And it is important to, however, subordinate our desires before the will of Hashem and serve as a role model, b'soch b'nei Yisrael, to our fellow Jews. When we realize the message of the Karbanos, and the symbolism of the Karbanos is actualized in our own lives, that we sacrifice that which we want, that which we have, because it is in conflict with what Hashem wants from us, then we serve as a good role model to those around us. But if we fail to do so, those around us take notice, B'soch B'nei Yisrael, and they may lead them astray as well. And then Rav Hirsch talks about the ultimate Kiddush Shem Shemayim, which is accomplished through Mesiras Nefesh, in the face of being asked to do an Avera. And while in the normal circumstances, Rav Hirsch discusses one is only required to give up his life for the Shalosh Averos Chamuros, for Avodah Zarah, Gilui Aroyos, Shvichos Damim. But this is different if one is pressured to do any avera in public, b'soch b'nei Yisrael, in front of 10 other
Jewish people, then the requirement of Yehoreg Va'al Yavor extends to all mitzvos. And this is also true b'shas hashmad. Then even for a small mitzvah, one is obligated to give up his life. And many of our ancestors did so throughout our history, and especially in this time of year, during the period of Sfiras HaOmer, and we know that this was a time of year when in the time of the Crusades, there were many communities where many people gave up their lives rather than convert to Christianity, or under persecution refused to budge from their life of Torah and mitzvos, and these people who nasham al kiddush Hashem fulfilled the idea of the karbanos at its ideally highest level. They gave up their lives rather than transgress the will of Hashem. They put Hashem's will before their own, giving up everything for the sake of Hashem. And we learn from them what it means when the pasuk says "V'lo sechalu es shem kodshi," not to desecrate the name of Hashem, not to put our own desires before Hashem. If they could do it in such a way of giving up their lives for this ideal, then certainly we can give up our certain desires, or this something we want, or certain activities, because even though we want them, we know that Hashem does not want this of us, and we can draw inspiration from the Chassidim Matmim VaYisharim, the Kehilos Hakodesh Shemasu Nafshom Al Kedushas Hashem, who teach us what this mitzvah is really all about. And we try to reinforce this idea every day in our tefillos, which replace the karbanos, which are the ideal symbolism of Kiddush Hashem. And our tefillos every day have Kaddish and Kedusha, which are expressions of being Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, Barabim, with the minyan. They are Dvarim Shebe Kedusha. They are the highlight of tefillah, because they are at their very essence really nothing more than a promise or an affirmation of our responsibility to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, Yisgadal v'Yisgadash Shemei Rabo, and Yehei Shemei Rabo Mevarach L'Olam U'Lomel Mayo. And when we say in Kedusha, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh Hashem Tzvakos, we are expressing this idea that we are to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, and through the tefillos, we reinforce these messages in our minds so that when we go back out into the world, into our daily activities, hopefully the message stays with us once we have been conscious of what these parts of tefillah are trying to convey to us. And then we can keep the message of the Niknashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael with us throughout our daily activities, constantly reinforced by the Kaddish and the Kedusha of tefillah. In Perek Chav Gimel, in this week's parasha, we read about the Moadim, Shal Shugalim, and the various mitzvot that go along with them. In Pasuk Chav Aleph of this Perek, we read regarding Shavuos, Ukrosem be'etzem hayom hazem mikra kodesh yelachem. You shall call on this very day, mikra kodesh yelachem, it shall be a day of a calling of kedusha for you, or a calling to the kodesh, to the mikdash. And kol melachas avodah lo sa'asu, you shall not do any melacha. Chukas olam b'chol moshvosechem u'dorosechem, it is an everlasting law in all your dwelling places, for all your generations. And Rav Hirsch asks two questions on this pasuk. Firstly, we read, Ukrosem be'etzem hayom hazeh, you shall call on this very day. But it does not say what you shall call. There is no object for this verb. Second question Rav Hirsch asks is, um, why does the pasuk feel the need to reinforce that it shall be Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh? And the Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh is a reference to what we said earlier, a few psukim earlier, that it's the 50th day of counting from the Karban Omer. So why does the pasuk need to reinforce this date for the Yom Tov of Shavuos? Why would we think to make the Yom Tov in any other day? Well, the truth is, it's understandable why we would be uncertain regarding the day of Chag Shavuos. And Rav Hirsch says, because we know through our tefillos, we refer to Shavuos as Zman Matan Torah Seinu, even though nowhere in the Torah is Shavuos associated with Matan Torah, but in our tefillos, and it's a Mesorah that Shavuos is about Matan Torah, and it's a Yom Tov in expression of thanks for having the Torah. It's commemoration of Matan Torah. And the Gemara tells us in Masechah Shabbos that Yetzias Mitzrayim happened on a Thursday. The 15th of Nisan was on Thursday. And according to that, that means that, and we know that Matan Torah was on Shabbos. So if you count from Thursday to Shabbos 7 weeks later, that means that that Shavuos was on the 51st day after the 16th of Nisan. 16th Nisan being day one, the 16th Nisan was a Friday. That means that 49 days is complete on Thursday. That Friday is the 50th day. Shabbos, the day of Matan Torah, was the 51st day. So why is it that Shavuos is on the 50th day from the Omer, if indeed in the year of Matan Torah and Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Torah was actually given on the 51st day from the 16th of Nisan? So this question is famously asked by the Magen Avraham and Or HaChaim, Siman Tav Tzadi Daled, and Rav Hirsch explains. Also, he says that Shavuos is not tied to any specific calendar date. And this is because, as we know, the dates of Rosh Chodesh were set based on witnesses who said they saw the new moon. So it's not like today's calendar where every month we know ahead of time is going to be 29 or 30 days, but one didn't know ahead of time how long the month would be. So it could be that, well, for our purposes, in our times, we know that Shavuos every year is on the 6th of Sivan, because every year, Nisan has 30 days, Iyar has 29, and so we know that 50 days following the 16th of Nisan will always be the 6th of Sivan. However, it could have been in the times where the months were, the Rosh Chodesh was declared based on Eidus of the new moon, so it could be that Nisan and Iyar would both have 29 days, in which case Shavuos would fall out on the 5th of Sivan, on the 7th of Sivan, or it could be that both Nisan and Iyar would have 30 days, in which case Shavuos would fall out on the 5th of Sivan. And Chazal tell us in Masechet Rosh Hashanah that Shavuos could be on the 5th, 6th, or 7th of the month. It does not have a specific calendar date. And so the Torah tells us that it must be Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, reminding us that the date of Shavuos is not set based on when Rosh Chodesh Sivan is, and a day of the month that would follow, but already from the moment that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is declared, we know when Shavuos is going to be. It's going because it's 50 days from the 16th of Nisan. And so that's why the Torah reminds us to set the date of Shavuos Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh on that same day, regardless of what day that is on the calendar. And so the krosem Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh refers to fixing the day of the month, that you shall declare that this is the Etzem Hayom Hazeh, It has nothing to do with what day of the month it is. And what we now see, though, Rav Hirsch explains, is that Matan Torah is not tied, Zman Matan Torah Sin is not tied to a calendar date. And it's not only that, it's not even celebrated on the day of Matan Torah. But rather, it's celebrated on the final day of the counting leading up to Matan Torah, on the final day of preparation, on the day before Matan Torah. And this teaches us that we don't celebrate the fact that we have the Torah. Matan Torah itself is not what we're celebrating, but we're celebrating the fact that we have made ourselves worthy of receiving the Torah. We're celebrating the last day of the Yimei Hagbalah. We're celebrating the day before we receive the Torah, because we're celebrating the fact that we are ready for the mission that is assigned to us through Kabbalah HaTorah. And we have no celebration of the day of the Torah itself, because the Torah is applicable in our lives every day. And the Aseret HaDibros that were given at Matan Torah are no different than the rest of the Torah. They have no greater kedusha than the rest of the Torah. And the day that we receive it, the Torah given at Ma'amad Har Sinai is no different from the Torah that was given over the rest of the 40 years to Moshe Rabbeinu and is written throughout the Torah. It has no special Kedusha. And that would be a misconception that could easily be understood if we celebrated the day of Matan Torah itself, the day of Ma'amad Har Sinai, the day of the giving of the Aseret HaDibros. Instead, we celebrate that we made ourselves ready for Kabbalah HaTorah. And then we can move on, taking that lesson from Shavuos and going and taking that into everyday life. And the Torah applies every day, not just on the day in which it was accepted. And Rav Hirsch points out that Chag HaShavuos is different from the other Yom Tovim, because the other Yom Tovim are designated for a mitzvah that is assigned to us in those days. Pesach refers to Karpin Pesach, Chag HaSukkos, because the mitzvah of Sukkah. But Shavuos is referred to as Shavuos, referring to the weeks leading up to the Yom Tov in preparation for it, because that is indeed what we are celebrating on that day. And so Shavuos takes on a whole new meaning when we realize what we are celebrating, and it's not what we might think we are. We are celebrating Zman Matan Torah Seinu, not because it is the day of Matan Torah Seinu, but because we are now ready for Matan Torah Seinu, and we are ready for that to be a part of our lives on this day and every day going forward for the rest of the year. And it's not tied to a calendar date. The Torah is not tied to any specific day of the year or any specific calendar date. It's a matter of every day. It's important for every day of our lives. We focus on the fact that we must prepare in order to observe the Torah in a meaningful way, and to accept the Torah and be ready to accomplish the mission that it has for us. And that's what we focus on during these weeks of Sfiras HaOmer leading up to the Yom Tov, and the successful accomplishments of preparation is what we celebrate at the end of the line, at the end of our weeks of counting, when we arrive at Chag HaShavuos. The verse is a very interesting, very beautiful explanation of the mitzvah of Arba Minim, which we find later on in the parsha, in the parsha about Sukkos, and Rav Hirsch wants to show that the Arba Minim are meant to be something meaningful, not just what he calls some sort of harvest bouquet, where we take the it's a sign of the gifts of the harvest. And he says that can't be, because we know Eretz Yisrael has Shivas Minim, for which it is famed. And of the Shivas Minim, only the Kapos Tamarim, the lulav, from the palm tree, which produces dates, is found on the list of Shivas Aminim, but not Esrogim or Hadassim and Aravos. So it can't be what this is all about. Instead, he shows how the three Minim that go in one hand are they each have certain characteristics of the Esrog, but not all the characteristics of the Esrog, and then shows how they come together. We know the Esrog is a pre-Eitz Hadar. It is both a tree. It's Eitz, it's a tree. It produces fruit, and that fruit is Hadar. And the Hadar is defined by it has a sense of beauty. It has a fragrance. It tastes good. It tastes like the bark has also a similar taste and a scent. And so this is pre-Eitz Hadar. So Hirsch says that the lulav comes from a palm tree which produces fruit, but it's not necessarily hadar. It doesn't have beauty to it. It doesn't have a fragrance. So it has the pre aspect and the eitz aspect, but doesn't have the hadar. The hadasim have the hadar aspect. They have a beautiful, they have a wonderful fragrance, but they don't produce fruit. And the aravos are really just wood. There's no pre. There's no hadar. It's just eitz. Whereas the esrog pulls all these different aspects of plant life together into the highest degree of perfection and is pre-Eitz Hadar. It is the ultimate fruit of a beautiful tree. And we take each of these minim and we bring them together to symbolize the different gifts that Hashem gives us in our life, which may come. Some people may have these gifts separately. Some people may have these gifts in a complete package, like the esrog. But each of them, on their own, are called hadar by the pasuk, and we know that there are requirements of hidr for all the minim, and there are requirements of tamus for all the minim. They must all be perfect. They must all be complete, because each person, whatever he has in his lot in life from Hashem, is perfect for him, and is meant for him to utilize it to serve Hashem. If utilized properly, that gift can be tam, can be complete in and of itself. And these must truly belong to the person. There is an obligation of lachem that must belong to the person. He must own them. A person must own whatever it is that Hashem assigns him. And when we all come together, each one with his own lot in life, each one with his own destiny from Hashem, but each one of them doing it completely, and each one doing it beautifully, and each one taking ownership of his responsibilities, then we fulfill Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. We can truly rejoice before Hashem. And Rav Hirsch says that the Avraminim represent different types of people. He says that the Aravos represent people who don't have intrinsic beauty, don't necessarily produce anything, but they are. He said, but he says that, but nevertheless, they have their lot in life, and the hadasim refer to people who have intrinsic beauty, even though. Or maybe they have, and we know that this is how Chazal refer to people have masim tovim, but don't necessarily have Torah. And then there is the lulav, which refers to symbolizes those who produce a lot. They maybe don't get much credit for it. They don't have much beauty for it, but they are accomplishing a lot, like the lulav, the kapos tamarim, which produces fruit, but may not be hadar. So this is, of course, symbolized, as we know, with the kapos tamarim is people who have Torah, but maybe don't have mas and tovim. And the esrog is someone who is perfection, who works hard, accomplishes a lot, gets credit for it. He has be Torah umasim tovim. These are everybody in their own way, with their own nature, with their own characteristics and their own accomplishments. But as the first says, each one can be considered tam and hadar in its own right. Each one can achieve perfection and beauty in its own way, based on whatever lot Hashem assigns to him in life. We bring them all together to serve Hashem, because Hashem is served through the diversity of people that he has created and whose destinies he has allotted to them. Everybody's lot in life comes directly from Hashem, and Hashem wishes each person to serve him in that through that which he gives them. And the verse, this is why we find different Chazal that each of the Arba Minim symbolizes one of the Avos or Imahos, because each of the Avos and Imahos also had different experiences in life, which are an inspiration for each of us in whatever life may send us. For example, it says the Esrog Chazal tells us refers to Avraham and Sarah, who were well known and had the favor of the nations around them, and did great things. So the lulav is symbolizes Yitzchak and Rivka, who certainly produced fruit and accomplished much, but didn't have as easy of a life and faced a little more hostility. So that's similar to the lulav, which isn't necessarily hadar, but has peros. And then the hadas refers to Yaakov and Leah, whereas the arava refers to the difficult lives of Rachel and Yosef. And in each, the avos and imos themselves reflect a diversity of life experiences and life assignments, we might call them, so that they serve as inspiration to Jews in all of their different diverse experiences in life. And we combine these all together, hold them together, and this way we acknowledge that everybody has their role to play in Avodas Hashem, in the Jewish community, and each one is perfect in and of itself, and when they come together, this harmonious service of Hashem results in true joy for all of us. U'smachtem l'fnei Hashem Elokeichem shivas yamim, as symbolized by these arba minim.